I'm just going to do it one more time.
Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches! Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches!
George A. What's the A stand for?
For all this.
Tiberius.
All that ass eating.
George, all that ass eating Romero.
Okay. Hey, welcome to Quality Time, everybody.
Hey.
Home of both quality and time. My name is Eric Woodworth, joined by Kimberly Ambrose and Jeremy P. Woodworth. How are you guys doing?
I don't know
so
who
good.
You're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's on the show tonight?
Shay LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna kill you with my gun, you bitches. I'm Shia LaBeouf.
He did go really hard lately.
I wish I could be in the new Star Wars so I could have my dad be Harrison Ford in every movie. I'm Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, he's really fallen off the wagon as of late. I mean, he's gone. Did you watch the video, Kim?
No.
He said, oh, great, you arrested a white man. You're supposed to be on my side.
Jesus.
He goes real hard against the cops and goes on a slightly racist tirade.
Just do it!
He does everything but say the N-word.
He's the worst.
Yeah, he's not a good person.
Isn't he? He has one of those names that he assumes that you give a shit enough about him and respect him enough to say it right. I don't.
You will put the A at the end of Shia LaBeouf.
I don't. I won't.
My name is Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
I just can't wait till I can become famous and be the biggest douchebag I can possibly be in life, so.
Yeah. I feel like if I ever get arrested, you know, one thing comedians really haven't done is, you know, really embrace the arrest video to see if maybe you can go viral with a good arrest video. Like, you know, as I'm getting, sir, have you been drinking tonight? What's the deal with Budweiser? Am I right?
Am I, though?
Am I? Am I arrested? All right. Hey, you put that many delicious 12-ouncers in front of me, we'll see how you drive, pal, okay?
I would like it to be excessively violent, no guns, just fisticuffs, but you just play, like, Monty Python music over top of it, and that's your video. Like, he's bashing your head in, but you have, like, the Benny Hill song going on.
I just got taste.
Right? That'd be fun.
You know my favorite police video, like online police video? There's a treasure trove of them out there, but there's this one of a gentleman who's arguing with his wife. He looks like a black guy and about in his late 50s, maybe early 60s. Mm. And the guy pulls out a taser and fucking hits him with the taser. And I don't know if the connection isn't good or something, or if he really is getting shocked, but he just goes... Ah, fuck, he tased me. He looks at his wife and he just goes, bitch, I'm gonna get you. And
what?
And he lays down on the ground. It's so... Hold on.
Don't tase me, bro.
Dude, you gotta see this, Kimberly. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves for a second.
When I'm stopped from being tased, you're gonna really get it.
That was my personal favorite. Don't tase me, bro. He sounded so sad.
That's another song
Don't tase me, bro.
This would be another song I should write called Tase Plankin'.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Well, check this out, Kim.
I'll get you, bitch.
Man, he held that down. He wasn't affected at all.
He didn't even put his cigarette out.
It just made him focus.
It might have just got like his shirt, I guess, when he was making contact. He looked at it and said, I'll get you, bitch.
One time on Police Women of Dallas. This woman got called out in Texas to a house call because, a gentleman, a resident, kept calling his grandmother all kind of bitches and motherfuckers. And the other lady that lived there thought that wasn't appropriate and called the fucking police.
Nice.
And she verified the fact that she should have done that because she was like, you know what? You can't call your grandmother all kind of bitches and motherfuckers.
I've had a couple run-ins with the cops when I went to the wonderful Salisbury University.
Classic.
you know, you party, you mm-hmm. do cool things, you hang out with a bunch of rugby players. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the cops are going to get called because mm-hmm. you know what? That much fun can't be had in a private home
nope.
that you rent for money.
No.
That the police just say, oh, there's 10 people in here. This needs to be shut down.
Yes.
But this particular night, my roommate Nick was, he knows how to party. He would say that he's allergic to alcohol, would be his response to this.
Interesting.
But what he does is just get very, very drunk and become a burden on the night many
and
times.
And society.
But we love him to death, so everybody always has Nick duty at least once. You just rotate. It's a rotation.
Okay.
Thing.
Is Nick the one with that likes way too much chaw on his cheek?
No, he doesn't. He's not a chaw guy. He's an all-American, white bread, Bud Light guy who does like acupuncture now. It's a long story, the backstory of Nick DeMichael. But there's this one time where the cops came to our house, you know, probably about like 22 years old, senior year, and we're sitting there and they have us all out on the stoop, and the cop goes and says, "You got an ID, Al?" He was like, "I don't have," and he was just like, "You have my ID." You're like, "I gave it to you." He was like, "What's your date of birth?" 12, 14, he like yells it out. He's like, 12, 13, 85, woo, like this. He's like, all right. And meanwhile, this cop B, it just has mace, like a bear mace thing.
Jesus.
And it's holstered on its side. And he's just like, he's looking for a, he's waiting for a second
to mace.
I wish
a motherfucker would.
So he was just like, "Can you spell your name for me?" like this. And he's looking at his ID. He's like, capital N, capital I, capital C, capital K, capital D. Lowercase I, capital M, capital I, like this. He starts spelling the rest of his name out. He's like, all right, stop. What's your social security number? He's like, 784-7112. That's too many numbers. Oh, I'm sorry. 876-543-411. He was like, "That's way too many numbers. You got my fucking ID. You have all the information you need. You don't need my fucking social." And like the guy again, bear mace holster. We're like, "Well, just chill, man. You don't need to fucking mace him. All
right. Right.
We're sitting in front of
Relax.
Our house right now.
Technically, it's so, legal to yell at someone rudely.
Yeah. Yeah. So. He finally gives him back his ID, and he was just like, "Yeah, why don't you send the mouth back inside?" He's like, I'm done talking.
I didn't say nothing.
He was just like, "I don't want to hear anything else out of you." And the only thing he would say is, I'm done talking.
That pisses me off, though, because if a cop says to you, "I don't want to hear anything else," and you go, "I can say whatever the fuck I want."
Yeah.
You are absolutely right. A lawyer would back you up. You are allowed to say whatever. You could tell him his mother sucks cocks in hell, and he has to get back in his car and go the fuck away.
You feel like when you're out with the really bad drunk, you're waiting for that one moment, like, okay, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, "Go get your fucking shine, motherfucker!" Right.
Oh, yeah. There definitely was something along the lines, because like I said, we were rugby players, and he was just like, "Man, you're lucky I never see you on the field." And he was just like, "Are you threatening me?" And he was just like, "No, officer, I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying, if you ever play rugby against me, I ruin your day."
That's all I'm saying.
He's like, "I would ruin your day."
"No, I'm not threatening you, officer."
So he towed the line like this whole time. He's like, "Are we going to arrest this kid? Or are we just at least going to mace him, right?"
You can't.
So
you got nothing.
And we just kept talking to the cops, and I'm like, "Hey, man, just chill, too. He's cool. Right? And he's a little drunk, but we're at home. We're in a home place."
Yes.
You don't want to take another drunk tank.
You're on
right?
my property.
So he goes back in, gives him the ID, and he's like, "All right, send the mouth back in." He's like, "I can go now? All right, sweet." So he goes right through the door, slams the door behind him, and just yells at the top of his lungs, "Ding fucking dong!" Like that. And I was just like, and I immediately look at the cops, so the only thing I could possibly think to say, I was just like, "I got to be honest with you, that's how he enters the house every time. That's just, he announces himself."
Yeah.
We don't have a doorbell. So... It was
It
was good times with the police.
Nice.
I've also been I haven't been maced directly, but I've been in a crowd that got the bear mace sprayed at them.
That's horrible.
At Halloween.
It sucks.
It is spicy.
Yeah.
I went to Taco Bell afterwards. I'm not gonna
lie. Nice.
But like my eyes were just like, kind
of
like,
wait, you smelled a little bit of spice and you were like, I could use some more of that in my life.
That's how fat I am. I was like, man, my eyes are burning. I could use a chalupa so badly right now.
So I got a nice gumbo and I sat down and enjoyed it.
It was so spicy and good. No, don't think that I got gumbo at 2:00 in the morning, 8 beers deep. I went to Taco Bell.
You're not an animal.
I love that's one of my favorite things is the late night fast food trip.
I'm all about that double T life.
Double T life is a good life.
That's
too.
That's how I like to live.
Double T is a good life.
Mm-hmm.
I used to there used to be a Hardee's 24-hour Hardee's.
What?
In Salisbury, I think it still exists.
Jesus.
But there was one night when we went there, and we picked our high friend who wasn't drunk, mm-hmm. and we were like, all right, we need to go to Hardee's ASAP. It was maybe like 2 o'clock, and because it's the only thing that's open, like real close there, it's, of course it's packed at 2 o'clock, because you ain't making thick burgers ready to order, okay? Mm-hmm. Thick burgers are, you order it, then they throw it on the grill, so you gotta wait a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting in line, and very hammered, all of us, you know, and then I kind of dozed off. Right. And then flash forward, I just hear the words, what the fuck? I'm like, holy shit. And I look out and I'm trying to get my bearings and I realize I'm still in the car and the sunlight's coming up. So it's got to be like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa.
And I'm like, the guy who's driving us, Boca, kind of looks around. He's like, what the fuck, man? I was like, what the hell? He's like, we got in the drive thru and I just fell asleep with the car running in the drive thru. So we'd been sleeping. No. We had all been collectively, four of us, four adult males, sleeping in a drive-thru for about three hours, probably.
Oh, my God.
And then he panicked, and he was like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. And we're driving down the street, like, God damn it. And then we kind of looked at him, and we're like, I mean, is Hardee's breakfast open or what? So he calmly turned around, and then we went back to the drive-thru, and we were first, finally. So
I like to think of all the people who went around you.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this motherfucker.
And you just see dudes with their mouths agape, just asleep as fuck.
But he wasn't asleep, right? Like, he was asleep, but not in park. He just had his foot on the brake, and he was just like... And all three of us just couldn't hold it together long enough. So we all just took a little nap, 3 hour nap in the middle of the night.
Proud of you guys for not taking your foot off the brake. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that would have been funny as he crashes through the fucking drive through menu over there. That would be good.
I'm ready to divulge a little bit more of the worst thing I ever said to a cop.
So you haven't divulged anything yet, but
yeah, a little bit more would be anything.
Jeremy, there's a statute of limitations. How long ago was this?
It's not a matter of statute. I'm just ashamed because I was like completely blitzed out of my mind, insane.
Okay,
you'll never see that guy again.
Again, you be you.
Right.
Be the butterfly that we know you are.
I don't even know if this is funny. I'll try to make it funny.
Listen, just get real. It's quality time is about Realville. That's where we live, bro.
Well, this is what I think you enjoy the most is my complete insanity and how I'm completely normal now. So.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So, buy that for a dollar.
So after I was doing something stupid and I got picked up by the cops, which involved me kind of driving erratically in my white Ford Aerostar in the day.
Nice.
And
AKA the Pussy Mobile.
Right. You know, it did have a nice locking, you know, area in the back. So.
Give us a year. What year is this?
I think it was 2000, maybe 2001. 2000. Okay.
Okay, 2000.
So, all right. So I'm completely insane, and this, thank God, that insanity only lasted a week. Came out of that one.
And that's how 9/11 happened.
It was very close, very close. So the cops pull me over, and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna pick up a charge or something. I have just enough of my reasoning. I don't want to go to get arrested. Maybe, you know. So the guy asked me, he's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm death in hell. So then I kind of fake like falling down on the ground like I'm dying or something. So they actually call the paramedics, and I remember the paramedics like trying to revive me, even though I didn't need to be revived. I was just pretending. And took what do you call the smelling salts? And put it under the thing under my face, and I literally let it go into my mouth, and they had to extricate it out of my mouth. So,
what is smelling salts in your actual body feel like?
It didn't really bother me because I guess I was too out of it to even really care. But you know, you figure you put smelling salts right in your face, you have no choice but to shake your head.
Right.
So it was annoying. It was just me being a dick. So.
So you were just being an ass to police officers.
Just being an ass. But I was completely out of my mind. So yeah.
Uh-oh. Give Jeremy some lithium. It's time for him to calm down a little bit.
Thank God I didn't act out enough so that they put me on the Haldol so I'd become a freaking zombie again for a month. So.
Haldol.
Good times. Good times.
Anyway, by the way, guys, if you like Haldol out there, please share us your favorite Haldol
story.
Shout
out to Haldol.
Tell us your favorite week where you did nothing except stare at a wall and think about, you know, flowers and very simple things.
Heroin is fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically what we want to know is just tell us about your heroin experience, mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. Hey, maybe if we like it, it'll make the show, okay? Quality time. That's what we're here for. big shout out to our listeners, by the way. I went and checked the statistics, guys. Last 3 months, we've had over 12,000 fucking hits on our feed. It's pretty dope, man.
That's awesome.
About 500 downloads, 12,000 hits on our feed.
Thank you.
You know what? They love quality.
They do. They do love quality.
Thank you,
time.
James Finn, because you are 11,999 of those.
I have been very pumped that James Finn has been part of this, guys. So
every step of the way.
You know, without James Finn, we... There's about each episode would be like two episodes.
I don't like to think
shorter.
About it.
Yeah. I don't want to live in a world where James Finn isn't mentioned on this show.
Yeah.
Every week.
Did you know where I'm making a new TV show with him?
A new TV show?
It's called Scales and Fins.
Scales and Fins. Jeremy's the.
I play Scales.
One is a 300-pound man with horrible scaly psoriasis. The other's guy's a realtor and a comedian with the last name Finn. They are Scales and Finn. Bam,
bam, bam, bam. Why do you keep torturing the suspect with your scales? Scales and Fins. This week, Scales and Fins.
Oh, I thought of another really cool thing, guys. I don't even know if I should share this on the podcast.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Now you have to.
Because I went to the Orioles game, and they had that was the sound of my brain when it has an idea. It actually does that every time. I was sitting out front of, if anybody's familiar with downtown Camden Yards, there's two bars right across the street from Camden Yards.
Two bars in downtown Camden.
Well, it's actually three. And it's Sliders and Pickles, and I think the one in the middle is called The Dugout.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a fan favorite. Every time you go before a game, cheap beers. Go grab a couple, right? Well, they had like this giant Natty Bow stand-up standee that is like made out of like quarter-inch thick steel. I swear you, this thing is fucking
invincible. What's a standee?
The Galleria. So it's a giant cardboard cutout, but made out of like quarter-inch steel. So this thing probably weighs like 90 pounds to 100 pounds, and is probably indestructible. Giant Natty Bow guy sits about 6 feet tall, human-sized. And I was looking at it, I was like, we could fucking get this thing.
Yeah.
The right kind of plan, right?
Because that's where my brain... close enough to the door.
My brain goes to let's steal cool things from bars all the time. And by the way, I've stolen some pretty cool stuff from bars over my years. And I was thinking, maybe we do like a reality man on the street thing where we plan low-level heists.
I love that.
Low-level heists.
Oh my God, I love that.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Ocean's 11. Because like, look, when it's like a game, all you need is a good distraction out there.
Yes.
So I was thinking.
And just be confident.
You get a flash mob and you get them dancing over there. And while they're dancing, we go ahead. Roll the truck right on by, throw it right in the back, and we're done. We stole that thing right there.
You don't even need that many people. You could have like one lady with a fake pregnant belly, and every time she could just be like, my water is pregnant! And then you run away with whatever it is you want.
Yeah, but this thing it's a multiple person thing. I was peeking out the staff like jerseys that they wear and stuff. I was like, you know, we get two of those right there. Nobody's going to question if we just go over here and pick this up. You're like, oh, boss says he wants it round back.
Got to
like,
do a wax job on this statue here.
Are you sure? He was just like, yeah, we're the new guys. I don't know. She told us to bring it around back.
I'm
like,
I don't know.
All right. I guess they're cool as they load it into the truck and drive away.
this past Friday, Quinlan and I, Mike Quinlan, who I run the Second Saturday Shit Show with, he also formerly of Riley's Oyster House fame.
Is Riley's Oyster House not a thing anymore?
I think they closed the basement room for the summer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. So anyway, Quinlan and I went out to a show in D.C. on Friday. Danny Charnley headlined. He did awesome. And the green room space for the comics, because we sat at a table and they were like, hey, guys, the show's sold out. Like, we're going to need this table.
Right.
Great problem to have. And there was a shelf on the other side of the wall. And then... in front of this shelf, which was the green room, The shelf was the green room in the middle of this bar room upstairs, right? And in front of it was a coat rack or like a clothes rack that you can buy, just like one of those metal sort of pole ones you put together on the wheels.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And they had a bunch of these metal hangers. Well, I got very resentful that they kicked me out of a table because I was comfortable, and they put us over at this thing where there was no room to stand. And I was like, Quinlan, I'm going to fucking steal all these hangers. And he goes, fuck that. We'll steal the whole thing. You just act confident, Kim Ambrose. You can take anything out of anywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, God, I love you, Quinlan. Yes, that's the spirit. That's the spirit.
Yeah, it's all about that. I mean, they talk about that all the time of people. You just walk in with a uniform and you can grab whatever you want at a Walmart and just like, yeah, loading this in the truck.
There's videos of one of my favorite human beings, Banksy, just with a piece of artwork he made pre-super glued on the back. He would just go into museums and stick his artwork on the wall. Like, while people are there, like, he would walk in with everyone else just wearing black, has a duffel bag, pull it out, put it down. He put sculptures of rats that he made, like, in with, like, African rocks and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, God, I love him.
That's
genius.
It's pretty dope.
It's so dope, right?
When Mike was on, didn't he say that he had stolen cars back in the day?
Yeah, I've heard some stories that overseas that Mike Quinlan stole a UPS truck. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Man,
in Turkey or something.
Alcohol is pretty cool, man. If I'm being honest with myself, I mean, there's not a lot of cool pot stories out there. I got stoned. I watched
Pot
Spider-Man.
Is like about who you meet. Yeah. Alcohol is what you do.
Yeah, you have stories after an alcoholic binge, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's not. You're not going to get that with the pot. You know what? From what I've heard, meth is the same. So what I'm getting at.
Meth stories always end with how many people you had sex with you never knew before.
I would like to see like a montage of meth addled memories, but to that Green Day song that's played at all the graduations. How's that? What's that?
Another tiny part of our stick in the road.
Right. And it's like people and then sucking a dick and then like going and punching an old lady in the face and taking her purse.
The memories and dead skin on trial.
Then you kick a child. Bam!
All these goddamn spiders, they won't get off for a while. It's something unpredictable.
I'm unpredictable. I'm on meth.
Teeth.
Yeah.
I've been scratching at my eyes all night.
Nice. I really, really like that. I'm really into that.
Heck yeah, man. Fucking, you know what? Nothing, you know, when I think of the good times, I think Green Day all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Whenever there's that life-changing moment.
I always think of J.J. Walker.
Either that or the Vitamin C song, graduation song.
Dynamite!
Yeah. As we go on, we remember.
Oh, I hate that song with every fiber of my being.
Yeah, but that, you have to have milestones to play it,
so
okay?
So boring.
It's not good unless there's milestones. You know what I saw after we hit the 12,000 hits on our feed?
Yeah.
I played the Vitamin C song.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. When we hit our RF feed. Sad news, guys. Very somber news.
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks about like an hour ago.
And you just fucking nonchalantly just announce it like a dick.
Well, I find that the best way to deal with really horrible... So, the true story. Earlier this week, one of my friend's dogs died. Okay?
Oh, no.
Really sad. And it's the same breed as my dog, Barley.
Oh, no.
And he's only like a year older than Barley. They're almost related. Like, same area, same... like. Anyway, it's really bad.
I hate it.
He just died, and so I was like, well, I have to tell my wife because my wife knows who Remo is, my friend Wayne's dog Remo.
Right,
which,
right.
By the way, great name for a dog. Remo,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Remo, straight from Casino. Pretty good name. So Remo died, and I had a long, hard time. I was like, I kind of just hope my wife sees this on Facebook, so I don't have to tell her. And when she didn't mention it, I was like, she didn't find out. So I just was like cooking stuff and like cleaning up around the house. I was like, oh, did you see that Remo died? And then she's like, oh no. I was just like, oh yeah, I know, it's really sad. And then I came down to her level. But I find that if you present death like really like, hey, Jersey died, like that,
so I'm like, sorry, but your mom's dead,
because then you,
I'm sorry,
you process it for a second, then you get sad. I'm like, I know, it's really bad.
I hate to have to tell you this, but you have lymphoma cancer.
I didn't know how to say it right away.
I think the way you do it, you just do it like a cop, and you have to say the word itself.
Okay.
You have to say Remo is dead.
Yeah.
I think from now on.
So guys, on the podcast, George Romero is dead? That's George Romero, creator of Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. The one of the worst films in the world is some really bad zombie movies he made later in his career. They we try really not to bad. Talk about
look,
it.
Look, Land of the it. Dead might have been bad.
The remakes are pretty terrible.
You know what he really wanted to call it? I'm Stan Lee, by the way. Which kind of sounds like George Romero, and I think I can get away with this. Is that I wanted to call the film Dead Reckoning, after the name of the RV that goes around shooting missiles. I'm Stan Lee, thank you very much.
George Romero's
How did he die? How did he pass?
What sounds like a short battle with lung cancer, but he went in his sleep. So,
wow.
So I
77 years young.
Wow.
Passed today.
I think from now on, I'm not going to mention celebrities that I've met. I'm going to mention celebrities that I met that are now dead. So
I saw George A. Romero at a horror convention, and I was so intimidated because I was such a huge fan. I am such a huge fan of him. I couldn't say hi. That's the only time that's ever happened. Like, I've said hello to Lloyd Kaufman, Sid Haig, Ken Foray, Bruce Campbell.
I like that you pronounced Ken Foree's name like the King's English.
You're lucky that you're lucky that I didn't say Bruce Campbell, which is how I normally say it.
Campbell,
yes.
If chins could kill.
Yes. He signed that for me. I also met Danny Trejo. Like, I walked up to all these people, but for some reason George A. Romero, like, it literally overwhelmed me.
Yeah.
He's just so fucking awesome.
I've never met George A. Romero before. But I had a really tough time talking to the guy who was the puppeteer for the movie Basket, Basket Case. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trouble talking to him. You know,
you're totally lying. You didn't meet the puppeteer for Basket Case.
I did. Shut your mouth.
The lady.
I met Earl Hatchkins. Okay.
Is that his name, Earl Hatchkins? Okay, so.
You know they can't see you shrugging, right?
I just made a face like, maybe it is. Okay, you do the goddamn math, all right?
So that's a Hennenlotter film, and I think Hennenlotter's been to the shows. But the funny thing is, I had never seen Basket Case, but I know that the guy who played in Basket Case made a cameo in the movie Brain Damage with Aylmer, and he's literally sitting on the subway with the basket. And he comes up, and the guy who's playing the guy with Aylmer in his mouth is, like, freaking the guy out who has the basket case, and the guy with the basket case moves on like, this guy's scary. So when I met that guy, I was like, hey, you're that guy from the movie Brain Damage, which is a real dick thing to say for his little cameo.
Not even Basket Case, you fuck. It was a retarded brother that lived in a basket.
But I love Brain Damage. To me, that movie is just pure. That's as good as Evil Dead 2 to me. So.
Is that the movie where the little black alien?
Aylmer.
Alien lives in him, right?
Yes. The little slug that pumps heroin or acid into the back of your head. So.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
The blonde lady from Devil's Rejects who got molested with a gun was so nice.
From Three's Company. What is her name? Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd. Yes,
Sybil Shepherd.
I hate Jeremy. Jeremy, how many people from the George A. Romero universe have you met over the years? I met a couple. I met Ken Foree.
Pretty much all of them. I'm trying to think of ones that I haven't met.
Impress us all with your knowledge.
I've met every single one from Dawn of the Dead. I mean, Dawn of the Dead. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So the what's her name?
The blonde girl with the short haircut.
Yeah, Galen Ross, Ken Foray, Reniger, who I called Trooper, which he was very happy about that, and of course Flyboy, and of course the you're looking at me like fucking idiot.
I'm listening to your story. This is
Tom Savini, of course the funny. Who are those guys that hang around at airports?
Oh, the Hindu. The one of the Bali. No, I know what you're talking about. Not the Hindus, but
Maharishi. That's a guy.
Hari Krishna.
They look like Shaolin monks. They look like they do kung fu, but they just want you to join their cult.
It's funny. The only person I think I haven't met, because I met the nurse and the fat guy, the fat bald guy, but I didn't meet the guy who was always carrying around the gun he stole from Trooper. So between those, that was, I think, the only person. Oh, and the other guy who likes to do the show is the guy who had the machete right in his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he literally sells cookies of his picture with the machete in the face.
Nice.
So. Machete face cookies.
But the guy who was the bald fat guy with the nurse on how many scenes in Dawn of the Dead was also the guy who ran the guns and gave the guns to everybody, so.
Oh, nice.
But anyway,
did you meet anybody from Day of the Dead?
Yes, obviously Nicotero, who's I don't know if he's Greg done Nicotero. Anything since okay. Day of the Dead.
Probably who's that guy? Because I met one of the guys from Day of the Dead.
Yeah,
the guy that was the general.
He's being facetious because Greg Nicotero is the lead special effects for Dawn of the Walking Dead. Walking Dead.
Cool. Tight.
And every single Tarantino film since then.
The guy that played the evil general military guy that was always yelling. He what's that great line he has in there where he's like, "Woman, shut up and sit down, or I will have you shot." He wrote that on an autograph for me. And I was like, that's fucking awesome.
I forget what his name is. Joe Pelanto? Pelantro?
I'm gonna choose not to believe you, but anyway.
He's in
Rico Palazzo.
Yes, Enrico Palazzo. Yes.
Now he's also in Pulp Fiction. Do you know who he plays in Pulp Fiction?
No.
He plays Dean Martin in the Jack Rabbit
Slims. No
shit.
Yes. That's so funny. No way.
So no, obviously met the fat guy. It's like, bang, you're dead.
Right.
I think his name is Clar. But most importantly, I met the two guys, the Jamaican guy. Jamaican guy, totally fake. He's totally American. I was like, that's awesome. You did a good job of pretending you were a different language.
I was sure this is what Jamaicans were. As the I compared all Jamaicans to the Jamaican from Day of the Dead for years.
Exactly.
I was like, you guys have dreadlocks?
That guy's cool.
No, the one scientist who isn't Frankenstein has a little goatee through the film, and he is the most worked Romero actor of all of them, because not only is he in Day of the Dead, he's also the father as the zombie in Creepshow.
Are you talking about the guy with the bug eyes?
No, the one that comes back out of the grave and to kill the...
Oh, Father's Day,
I want my cake.
You called me a bitch!
No. And
wait a minute, that's not him. That's him shaved up, like...
As a zombie.
Oh, only the zombie
as
one.
The zombie.
Not the actor.
Not the actor,
it
was the old guy.
Oh. You bitch, you said it would be my cake!
Now, if you know the older Romero films, the movie Martin, where he's kind of like a vampire... Where he's kind of like a kid. That is the same actor. That was one of the films that put him on the map. But more importantly,
Martin.
Who is he in Dawn of the Dead? Martinez, because he played Martin in the original.
Yeah! So, oh my God!
So
that's funny. Oh shit!
Can I remember after
is Martinez the one that goes on the racist tirade and plays every cop in the real world?
No.
Who's the super racist cop that goes maniac? Have you met him?
No, he wasn't at any of the shows. No.
And you drop a couple N-bombs. You don't think you can just go to horror movie conventions anymore?
You just show up without a bodyguard somewhere.
Yeah. So. It's a real rough role for him.
Martin and Martinez. So
I love Night of the Living Dead. I love that movie. I love how it's shot. I love how they make a point. George A. Romero is so talented at having a point to make and not saying it at all. He totally lets his audience figure it out or not figure it out. Right, after that, yeah. But, oh man, I just love that movie. Like the power play between characters. I really love anytime I see something that is something I deal with in life that stresses me out, that I feel unvalidated about. Mm-hmm. Like... the guy in the basement, the father of that young girl in the basement, who just kept being a dick because he could not wrap his head around the idea that he didn't get to be in control.
Are you talking about the black and white or the 1989?
The black and white. The black and white. And
I like the 1989 actor who plays that part.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
Tom
so
Tolles.
Bad.
Yeah.
Tom Tolles, yes.
Who's also in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Is he really?
Yeah.
As Otis.
Yeah, he plays
Okay.
He plays Otis Toole in Henry.
That movie is fucking crazy.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yeah. That's a brutal
date
movie.
Date night.
Hello.
Date night.
And the remake of Night of the Living was actually directed by Tom Savini, but I've met pretty much everyone out of that one, too. You know, between Tony Todd,
yeah.
And whoever the chick was, and Tom Tolles, and didn't meet... I guess that was about it, so...
Did you ever meet... Mr. Magruder.
Right, right.
Have you met Mr. Magruder? You just shot Mr. Magruder! That's...
We love our lines from the classic, so...
I do like the 89 remake a lot. I'm not going to lie. I almost like it as much as the original. It's just... It's very much exactly the same movie, just with a couple better actors in some spots. I love the guy who plays
and
the
Barbara,
dad.
Like, total badass.
Yeah, Barbara's no longer...
Judith O'Day.
Yeah, she goes
was
hard.
The original, and who's the remake? No, she was also in Knight Riders, another Romero film that they're all on bikers, and they have, like, jousting matches.
Oh, yeah!
Motorcycles.
Oh, my God.
She has a topless scene in that movie.
I haven't thought about that in forever.
Knight Riders.
How should we send him off? How should we do a little quality time send off? Raise our glasses.
Romero.
George A. Romero.
Yeah, we'll give like a little eulogy or something. Here you go. Look, I got some sad music.
Perfect. George A. Romero, you walked us through a world of fantasy where the dead became the living and the living became the dead that then again became the living. If there's anything we can learn from you, it's to put all our problems in a pile and burn them in the middle of a field. Thank you for putting Tom Savini in every non-important role that most fans would sit back and go, "That's Tom Savini," and their friends go, "We know you say that every time." George A. Romero, thank you for always wearing clothes that made you look like you were going on a safari and glasses that made you look like a 75-year-old fashionista. George A. Romero, you brought so much to the childhood of all of those of us who have divorced parents and neglected and left in basements to smoke pot on our own. George A. Romero, to you, to your soundtracks, to your cast, to your plot lines, to the dialogue that we'll choose to give you credit for, to George A. Romero.
I want to thank George Romero for making the biggest fantasy film of my entire life. Of just having a mall with my friends.
Yeah.
And to realize that, you know, when zombies take over the earth, that isn't the worst part of the zombie takeover. It's bikers.
Yeah.
Bikers are the worst thing on the face of the earth. Because you have your mall, all you have to do is put trucks around it. Trucks. Mm-hmm. And you have your own mall, you know?
I feel like that's going to go at the end. You have your own mall.
That's all you need.
Just put trucks around it.
You know? And you know, it might get a little lonely, but you have the best stereo system you could ever have in your life. And you know, maybe you can grow some crops or something on the roof or something.
I like that when you take over a mall, the only thing that you decide to listen to is...
Yes. I love that they put that in Shaun of the Dead as like a little...
Yeah, a nice little comeback.
Attention shoppers, there's an extra good sale at Penny's this week.
I like that you validated all my thoughts that if the apocalypse does happen, bikers and hillbillies will be the only ones left to save
yes.
us.
Yes.
There'll be nobody else.
Thank you, hillbilly.
And Ving Rhames.
Yeah, and you showed me that, you know, when society breaks down, the way people start saying the N-word right away.
Immediately.
It's not even not even a question.
Day one.
We'll be running rampant, dropping N-bombs left and right. Because that's what I think of. When my life's in peril, I'll be like, shit, I didn't say the N-word nearly enough in my life.
I will not call black people the N-word. I will call them Shaq.
Shaq.
I'm going to call them baby's father and make a new generation of caramel children.
Oh, Chocolate Man. Yes.
Yes, Chocolate Man. Yes. There's a line in Dawn of the Dead where he goes, "I see you, Chocolate Man." That's a Tom Savini classic right there.
I was very proud to have the lead man in my film to be a black man. I'm Stan Lee. I'm sounding a bit like George Romero.
But yeah, R.I.P. R.I.P. Right, George Romero.
Well,
God bless you.
So the worst part about the Q&A that we had for George Romero, I think at Monster Mania, is like people are asking him, like, what do you think your legacy is going to be? Like, can we not talk about him like he's going to die tomorrow? Yeah. I mean, I know he seems pretty not well off, but and he can't hear out of one ear, but he's still alive.
So first of all, Tommy Cimbazzo has daydream fantasies about, hey, can you grab me when it's something out of the door? Tommy Simbazo, his active fantasy is about what it's going to be like when Stan Lee dies.
Oh, God.
And how much you're going to cry because they filmed all these extra cameos for like the upcoming Marvel movies in case he dies.
Right.
Like years and years, you're still going to be able to see Stan Lee in cameos in the movies.
That's crazy.
And how much you're going to cry when you see this movie was dedicated to Stan Lee. Shit like that. But that begs the question. There's two rather iconic elderly men that are still sticking around. Who do you think dies first? Stan Lee or Hugh Hefner?
Mm.
Who do you think lives between these two?
I think most importantly, it's my favorite, the man who made Hustler. That's right, Larry Flint. And if you come tonight to Larry Flint's Hustler Club, you get two flap dances and a rock for $50.
I think Stan Lee already decided who's going to die first, and it's him, because if he's already filmed these things, he doesn't have to worry about dying. He can just do it. He has nothing to hold on for.
So you don't think it'll be Stan Lee?
Yeah.
Well, what is half living for other than just these?
Just to get another 18-year-old wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. What could he possibly wake up every day for than the tightest cooch you've ever seen or thought of in your life at 90 years old? Must be rough.
That's gonna make your heart explode.
Yeah, a good way to go out is what I'm saying.
No, I'm with the Andy Klein mentality. You don't want to die doing what you love. You don't.
No.
No, have you heard the Andy Klein joke? It's very funny. It's on a CD. By the way, check out comedian Andy Klein. He's very, very funny, talented DC comic. But he has this joke. He's like, you don't want to die doing what you love. You want to die doing what you hate. And he's just you know, I want to die when I'm at a farmer's market holding my wife's purse. And like, that's the time I want to die the most ever. I want to die doing what I hate. So
that's on point.
It's I'm of that mentality now. Mm-hmm. I've switched.
I just want to die during my job during a really, really rough week so that my wife can call my bosses and say, well, he's dead now. Good job. Good job.
You did it now.
I want to die while the X-Files theme song is playing. Like, while it's while it's going down into the episode starting and there's that Mark Snow show is starting after theme song music, I want my soul to leave as soon as that music is starting.
Dig that. How about that? That's pretty cool.
She's so poetic.
Oh,
truthfully, I want to die, but I want to be first. I want to be in like a coma for months on end, because currently I've written in my end of life package that I don't want you to pull the plug. I just want to be in the coma, and you are to play the song Metallica's One as loud as it can go in headphones for me. So nice. I just exist. Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolute horror. I cannot live. And they're like, is he doing it? You're like, yeah, he really, this is what he wanted. And
so if in a coma, listening to the Metallica's One about a kid who's in a coma,
yeah,
kind of, because he can't communicate. So
yeah,
that's
so what about if you're only losing like one limb or
I want you, when it's bedtime, though, to play Jules' bedtime song. So
that's
like
metal
a lullaby.
As fuck.
It's like a lullaby CD. I request that.
I request that.
So what if you die of electrocution? Do you have to be able to listen to Ride the Lightning while you're being electrocuted?
Yes, it all involves Metallica songs.
Like, you have your finger in a socket and Jeremy's like, wait, I have to pull this up on a phone.
If I die at the hands of Spider-Man, I have to hear the song A Hero of the Day. If I die, if I go into like a very large bottomless pit, fade to black.
In space, Rocket Man.
Yeah. Jerry's really enjoying our songs.
So I'm the kind of dork, so that when I met Alex Winter, sorry.
Are you talking, you met Tyler Perry's character, Alex Cross?
Yes, I met a character
excited?
From a movie, as in the movie, and he's in real life for some reason. No, Alex Winter, the otherwise known as Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah, so he's Bill.
Yeah, so he meets... So he was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers video called Knock Me Down, all about being on drugs, and he's going through the Red Hot Chili Peppers house and everything. So, of course, when I meet him, I have to play the Knock Me Down song while I'm getting my picture taken with him. Like, I'm such a fucking dork, just in retrospect. So
did you hear that they're remaking Bill and Ted? They're remaking it.
I'm
not,
so sick of all these remakes.
Bringing it back as a sequel with Keanu and Bill.
Oh, really? Cool. As the fathers.
I don't know. Right. All female cast.
But instead...
I'm sick of both of these things. I'm sick of remakes, and I'm sick of all female cast. I'm over
Please
it.
Please tell me that one of the kids is Miley Cyrus.
Yes. Yes. And Rufus is actually played by Whoopi Goldberg, actually.
No, Raven Simone.
Raven Simone.
I would have gone with Ellen.
So. It's actually just a council of the View. They're the ones that actually control the time machine booth.
Oh, my favorite member of the council of the future. Know who I'm talking about?
Who's that?
Mm-hmm. Hmm? I'll give you a hint. He was in a Freddy Krueger film.
Johnny Depp?
Nope.
Robert Englund?
Nope. You're getting close.
Yaphet Kotto.
Son of a bitch.
These are good guesses, though. Those I'm are not solid even guesses.
That's right. The star of Body Double.
Oh, what is that guy's name? I know.
I know. It's on the top tip of my tongue. Gosh.
Bill Maher.
Yes, Bill Maher.
I always think Bill Maher looks like the guy from Body Double, though, doesn't he?
If he was ugly, yes, with a ginormous nose.
The guy is ugly. Yes. So is Bill Maher.
I can't remember his name.
I think when I say Bill Maher, Jeremy thinks I'm talking about Rob Mayer. I'm Rob 100%. Yeah. I don't think he actually knows
I made
who
that
Bill
mistake
Maher
recently.
Is.
I tripped over my words. I was like, Bill Maher, Maher. And somebody was like, no, it's Bill Maher. It's Rob Mayer. I was like, oh, right. That's where I'm fucking up.
Look, I know DC Cab. I know who Rob Mayer is. So, yeah.
Nice, man.
All right,
DC
nice. Cab.
Cool story. Right. Cool story, bro.
Cool.
Can I bring this to the table?
Yeah, bring it up.
I'm ashamed to say this first part. For the first time, I watched the movie Spawn.
Oh, Spawn!
Spawn!
Man, that is a big heap and pile
I didn't
of
even
dog
remember.
Shit.
I yes,
movie.
I didn't even remember. I didn't realize I hadn't really actually seen it until I saw it on Netflix last night and was like, "Oh shit!" And no one decided to tell me till 2017. Thanks Netflix for having my back because no one else did. That fucking one of my favorite people ever.
You're gonna say John Leguizamo? I'm not gonna be
wrong. Wrong. One of my favorite people ever is the main character, Michael Jai White.
Yeah, he is pretty cool.
That's my bro.
He wants to be Spawn for the rest of his life.
I want
so
him
bad.
To be Spawn for the
and
rest
he's
of
been,
his life.
He's been he, part of the reason. Like every movie that he has, he was like, I talked to Todd all the time. He said I could be in the sequel. And secretly, Todd goes, he's like, yeah, I'm just really scared of Michael Jai White, and he's not going to be in the sequel.
Oh,
like that. But
he's incredible.
He walks around thinking that he's going to be in the sequel.
Yes.
He's actually one of the legit badasses in the world.
Yeah, like, he really, really is.
When you talk about Bruce Lee, being like a legit martial artist and somebody who can kick your ass, Michael Jai White is that guy, 100%.
Like, I got introduced to Michael Jai White after I had already known about Tony Jaa. And Tony Jaa is extremely impressive, but in comparing the two, Tony Jaa comes off to me as somebody who has genuine skill, but he utilizes it in a way where he's really just doing it for movies. Michael Jai White comes off as an actual expert. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, he's technically perfect. Yeah. He looks like he could hit really fucking hard. God, I love that
Have you
that
ever
guy.
Seen the movie? Have you ever seen like the behind the scenes of Michael Jai White showing Kimbo Slice how to throw punches?
Yes, I
and
have.
Kimbo,
oh my
Slice
god!
And Kimbo Slice going like, "Holy shit!
Holy
this crazy.
Shit!"
Like
yes,
that. And he really yes. thinks like Kimbo Slice is legitly scared of Michael yes. Jai White when they're on the set. They're like, "Yeah, they have this fight scene." He was just like, "Here you go. I'm gonna put my hand right here. Try to hit it if you can."
Right.
Like that. And he's fuck it. He's blowing. He's like, he's trying to hit it over hand, and he just puts like a
we
fist
should put
right
a
underneath.
Link. To
like
that on Quality Time Facebook
oh, yeah.
page.
So
stuff.
He was like a super kung fu master before he did Spawn.
Yeah, he's been.
Yeah,
he's
like
he's a
martial
martially
artist. Trained. Yeah,
more
yeah.
than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm taking Jai White
right,
every time.
Right on par.
I'm taking
yeah,
Jai White every
totally.
Time.
Totally.
Now supposedly Jet Li is supposed to be a badass martial artist in real life too.
I can see
but,
that.
But then again, Jet Li is only like 3 foot tall. He's a very tiny
it's all
man
you need.
In comparison.
It's all you need.
I'm taking Jai White every time.
I'm going to take Jai White too, but I think Jet Li would really give him a run for his money, i.e. he would surprise him.
You think so?
I think yeah. so. I think he'd get a couple surprises in there.
From what I've heard is that Jet Li is legit used to do bare knuckle Chinese boxing, and yeah. it was like a champion of bare knuckle Chinese boxing.
The way that I'm going to get super nerdy right now, but the way that he,
oh yes,
when he, get your cocks out and your double sided die.
Hold on, I'll just be...
A 100-sided die.
Yeah. Don't mind me, I'm just lowering myself onto this 22 ounces of Budweiser. Continue.
Oh, wait a second. That's an awesome name for a band, 100-sided die.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Awesome. Wait, everyone stop. I have a band title. The way that Jet Li stops his movements makes me think that he is incredibly... He's trained and he carries himself as somebody who wants to do it correctly. Like a lot of times, like Steven Seagal is a perfect example. You can tell that he's not trying. He doesn't care. He put more effort into matching his goatee and hair than he's going to into these fight scenes right now. If you haven't seen, there's a movie on Netflix with Steven Seagal's and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I cannot remember what it's called, but boy, is it fun.
I'm aware of what this film is.
It's a whole lot of fun, yes. And I don't think Steven Seagal lifts his leg higher than 2 feet off the ground, and these guys that he's fighting do full frontal flips upon, let's put in quotations, contact.
Have you ever actually seen like footage of Steven Seagal like sprint running?
No.
Or running? He legitimately runs like... He has the body composure when in motion of a wet noodle, I guess is the best way to describe it. Like if you
he's
ever
a thick dude too.
If you ever watch like a noodle, but like you threw it and not end over end, but it remains straight and just waved like this. That's how Steven Seagal runs, and it's very funny looking.
Oh,
is it really important of how skilled you are at martial arts as how douchey you can be about your martial arts? Like. Yeah. I could kill you just by looking at you right now with a thought bullet.
Here's my
wet right now. So wet right now.
You think this shit affects me, man? You think this shit affects me? Steven Seagal, man.
Let me spread something to the Quality Time family. There are two movies that if you have not seen, you need to see them. First one's first off the bat, Unleashed. If you have not seen Unleashed, you're out of your fucking mind. Jet Li and Bob Hoskins. Jet Li plays a a man who is convinced that, taught through abuse that he is a dog, and he has this collar on him. Have you guys seen this?
Yes.
You've seen this?
I saw the trailer.
They pop the collar off, and he fucking goes crazy. Every time the collar's on, he's totally obedient. Every time the collar's off, he fucking does martial arts like a badass. So
and that's
they can...
just Bob Hoskins' character.
Yes, Jet Li.
Wait till you get to Jet Li.
Yeah.
He's really badass.
Yes. Oh, I fucking love that movie so much. Morgan Freeman's in it as a blind guy who fixes pianos. It's endearing.
And it's the best sequel to Mario Brothers ever.
Yes. It's so good. I love British action movies. There's usually titties somewhere. People get thrown through windows. It's just so great. Chase scenes always. The second movie I'm going to recommend, which if you haven't seen, we can't be friends yet until you see it. It's got Michael Jai White starring, and it is called Black Dynamite.
God, it's such a
and let
film.
Me just tell you what.
He OG'd.
Get ready to laugh. That movie really, like, that's one of the few movies where I had to stop laughing because I was tired from, like, I would have to just mentally acknowledge that's funny.
Black Dynamite is a very funny movie.
Shut the fuck up, Euphoria. I knew that was you. I didn't even have to look. Let me send you back to Crenshaw P with them hot ass hangers, bitch.
You know what my favorite part of that movie is when it's the really dumb effects. Like I love when things are so dumb that it makes me laugh. Like there's one part where the lady he's talking to clearly does not have a lit cigarette. It's clearly unlit.
Yeah.
And she takes a puff of this, right, real close up to the camera, and it just makes the biggest sound effect that. Like it's burning. That shit is so funny to me.
That they had the wherewithal and the thoughtfulness to do an homage to the 1970s blaxploitation film, look it up, called Dolomite, about a pimp in the streets.
Oh, Rudy Ray Moore.
Yes. And there's a scene in Dolomite where he's explaining how he is going to turn things around and get things taken care of for these kids in the streets to live a better life. And he stands up and his afro literally hits the boom mic, which is in shot. They do not change the scene. They do not retake it. And they do not move the fucking boom. And in Black Dynamite, when she says, it's my nephew Bucky, he OD'd.
Yeah.
And they have the one tear and they cut back and she has no tears.
Nothing at all.
And when he's like, yes. I'm going to get this motherfucker. This is bullshit. oh shit, all these kids in the streets need to live safe and clean. And he stands up, and sure enough, it hits the boom mic. What a beautiful homage.
It's so perfect.
I was very thankful the movie taught me something, because I never realized that they were actually making fun of the assassination of Martin Luther King. When, of course, somebody gets shot and they point in the direction, which is completely wrong of where the shot came from. I didn't even realize that. It's like, okay, I guess it's, we can make jokes about that.
It's
now.
So thorough. Like, the people who wrote that movie were so thorough. It's just so great.
And I get that movie mixed up in my head a lot with I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Okay, I can see that.
Which never got the style of true 70s movies.
Agreed.
Even though they had better jokes in it.
Black Dynamite went above and beyond.
Especially
truly.
With the mother that went through the fight scene in the diner. And
God, that is such, again, Jeremy, you know me too well. So. You know that's my favorite part. There's three things that have made me laugh harder than I've ever laughed, honestly. One is that sound effect from Black Dynamite. Two is the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, when it's the fight scene with his mama and it's immediately a white guy stunt double who's doing all the stuff.
Yes.
Like, clearly a white man with a mustache. For some reason, that part just fucking annihilated me. And then there's one scene from the movie Orgasmo. You gotta be real quick to see it. But I literally will fucking, if you wanna see me in tears, you put that movie on. There's a fight scene with Ron Jeremy where Orgasmo goes and jumps up for a jump kick, and then all of a sudden it's no longer the head of Ron Jeremy, but clearly a ceramic pot, like a ceramic pot that looks
Ron
like
Jeremy's
Ron,
head.
Like a bust of Ron Jeremy, clearly made out of like an orange ceramic pot. The foot goes through it and breaks it. It makes like the shattering of a sound,
not a human skull.
It comes out of nowhere, and the first time it happened, I wasn't ready for it at all, and it still just fucking annihilates me every time.
Great. Still one of the greatest Mormon films ever made. So
yeah, the stunt cock, God, man.
But my other favorite was the chick from Mad TV, the blonde in Black Dynamite. I think she plays Nixon's wife.
Oh my God, yes, from Mad TV. Yes. That shit was so funny.
In the final scene where they have to line up for the end of the movie and she has to line up just with his leg just for the pose. Yeah. So
If I can go back to Spawn for a second, I just want to say...
What were your thoughts on Spawn?
My thoughts on Spawn.
I'm a big Spawn fan. I used to have an array of the toys, a lot of the comics. Okay. I'm very well read in the Spawnverse.
Okay.
I'll even do you one better. I went to see this movie, this flaming pile of dog shit movie.
Yes.
Not on the day it came out, but on the secret special preview day.
Whoa.
I saw it the Thursday before
it
dropped.
Whoa, buddy. That Thursday midnight showing?
Yeah.
Whoa, big guy.
By the way, in high school, I never had sex until I was 19. Okay.
So there's that. Just let you know how big of a fan of Spawn I am.
Go for it.
I can see how the comics would be really cool. I really liked what they were trying to go for. It's really unfortunate that it was made in the 90s. It's such a raver kid movie. Like, the soundtrack, I felt like it had the longest intro I had ever seen in my fucking life. So long. Like, it just kept going. Can I say, if you don't credit John Leguizamo in that role, you are out of your fucking mind.
Honestly, he did the best out of anyone else
in that
film.
It's so amazing. Like, I know
amazing, but
it's so good.
It was
okay. And here's why I say it's so amazing. Because actors are really fucking vain people, and he made himself so what that character was, which was vile, disgusting, just someone you love to hate. It's just so natural to hate. He's fat and gross. He eats maggot covered pizza. He's just a horrible person. He's borderline a pedophile. Like, everything is horrible about him. And there are things that, like, I am genuinely afraid that one day Rob and Joe are going to ask me to do something in the murder mystery show, not that's violent, not that's overly sexual, but that's so cheesy, I won't be able to do it. And I feel like John Leguizamo completely let go of vanity and just totally dived into what that character was. And I loved it. I loved it.
Well, he's no George Lopez.
The things that plagued Spawn is, one, Spawn, it did come out in the 90s, and it was billed as a visual spectacular.
It is, except the CGI sucks.
Yeah, it's very. What really, it's still very early in the CGI game. Yes. Back then,
what really let me down was his
portrayal
mentor,
of the devil.
His mentor, the
Cagliostro. Yes.
Yeah, the redheaded old guy.
Yes.
Who's obviously English or British of some sort. Who I really loved in Excalibur.
Mm,
yeah,
otherwise known
as
Merlin.
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay, yes.
So, you know, that kind of was like the last of his career, obviously, and, you know, it just didn't, you know,
it. The dialogue was ridiculous. The CGI was terrible. When they finally show the devil and he's this giant dog creature,
so ridiculous. The biggest thing with Spawn is that Spawn was a very rated R, if not rated X, comic book. So
yes, I can
ultra
see that.
Violent. Ultra, you know, taking on everything from one of the bad guys being a child molesting ice cream man named mm-hmm. Billy Kincaid mm-hmm. to you know, just it's a very, very violent and sick comic, and the fact that they came out with this and immediately said, we're gonna make this a PG-13 film. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've already cut the legs out from what Spawn is. Now, if you really want to see a good rendition of Spawn, all right, and this is not bullshitting you, look up the animated series from, it came out like 2 years after, or
no
maybe
shit.
Even 2 years before, about the same time. On HBO, they had a 6-part, I think it was hour-long episodes of Spawn, and it is comic accurate. It is voiced by Keith David, who does an amazing job voicing over Spawn.
Nice.
And,
that's cool.
It's ultra violent and it's really good.
That's cool. I'm into that. I like that.
You can say the same thing for the comic book series of The Mask. Which the violence in that was incredible.
And then they made that stupid Cher one, right?
And the worst thing is, like, his most
Rocky Dennis.
His most violent line is like, there's three things in the world I hate. The light on my face, and the light on my face. And then he just kills everybody, so.
Yeah.
So. That's awesome.
That Rocky Dennis, man.
That's,
you know,
the thing, though, like, if you don't read the comics or if you don't know the backstory, everybody comes off as super, like, when people talk about Star Wars, they're very, like, critical of it. And it's like, all right, we get it. It's never going to be what it is in your head. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But comic book readers have a disadvantage that we already have a cooler version of what you're making.
Yeah.
Like Walking Dead, perfect example. Like, the books are fantastic. They don't put the depth, they don't put the dynamic, they don't put the violence,
yeah.
They don't put the social moral questions. Like, they don't put
they
any
don't
of that.
They don't have the fucking kid murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Greg Nicotero.
They don't have the double kid murder. Carl
yeah.
killing that one kid,
and
which
then,
totally awesome.
Yeah.
And the twins' decapitation
yeah.
by the serial killer in jail.
It's some hard stuff to palate when you're yes. sitting in front of an exec at MGM. I'm like, I'm going to say this is a hard yes.
That's
I'm going
such
to
bullshit.
Need this. I'm going to need this in there. You
That's
know?
Such bullshit. You should just give the people what they want.
Yeah. Let them fucking kill kids, okay?
Yes,
we can
dude.
Handle it.
Dude, we see
it?
That on the news. I can handle that in fiction.
Yeah.
It's
and,
fine.
And Tyrese just sitting there having a lollipop one day, and all of a sudden a baby zombie just comes up and kills him.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This is bullshit!
Right.
Damn it!
I never, you know, that's the one part of the remake of Dawn of the Dead that was really horrible, was seeing the baby zombie. But I was
yeah.
just like, why you gotta kill a baby zombie? I mean, what is it gonna do to you? I mean, really? What is it gonna do to you?
What
it can just sit
you?
There. Oh, look, he's gnawing on my arm again. He's teething.
He's teething.
Shut up.
That's not a breastfeeder. That's formula fed.
Shut up. This is my baby zombie. I love him to death. He literally smells fucking horrible. I hosed him down. He's
so,
all right.
So, confession. The Dawn of the Dead remake is my go-to when I'm sick, when I am by myself and don't have anything to watch and can't figure it out. Dawn of the Dead remake, I have seen at least 2,500 times.
It's really good.
One
it's
of my favorite
good.
Parts is the slow motion shooting scene between Mekhi Phifer and an old white lady.
Yeah.
I love that part so much because it's in slow motion and she looks
yeah.
super non-threatening.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
And the guy from Modern Family is really funny.
He is so funny in
Such
that movie.
A dick,
he's
too.
So good, yeah.
God, I loved him.
There's no Mekhi Phifer.
Yeah. He is. Mekhi Phifer is
Get
in that
yourself
movie.
In the music, the moment. Go,
Nick.
Never gonna
go.
Ho!
We're reaching the end of the show. What else do we want to talk about, guys? I saw the new Spider-Man movie. If anybody, I could give you a spoiler-free thing. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was
nice.
So good.
Oh, I have one more thing about Spawn.
I thought
it was really, really interesting. You know how they say William Shakespeare predicted things that he didn't even live to see? Okay.
Yes.
Now, I thought it was really cool how they played they had Martin Sheen playing our government today.
Oh.
Jeez.
Right?
Okay there.
You're gonna fly down
okay,
here.
Buddy?
What is he better is Martin Sheen playing the government better in Spawn or The Dead Zone?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Did you see The Dead Zone?
I saw it a long time ago. I'm going
to
say...
He held a baby up to protect himself.
Yeah. I'm going to say this one, in Spawn, because his intentions were more global.
Yeah, and he had a cool silvery suit at one point, and that says man of the future.
And, man, that lady that was on his side got no fucking credit.
No.
I like when she goes, nice outfit, asshole.
Typical.
And then tries to shoot him. Yeah.
Typical mansplaining of
yeah.
the film.
Don't I like that. It. That was funny. Because I wish I would have loved to see her switch sides. You guys don't appreciate me.
Well, I guess that's... Yeah, I Spawn hurt my... Spawn, 90s Spawn hurt me a lot, okay? There's a lot of bad memories about it because I came in with an expectation. Aww. And it was the first movie I ever went to where I was just like... I think that was a bad movie. Like, I had to sit there. I had to have a long look at myself as a young teenage boy.
You are now an adult.
This is my first time where the book was better. And
yeah.
I'm that person now.
You're that
That's
guy.
That's officially me.
You're that guy.
Now on a plus side, Todd McFarlane has talked for years, over a decade now, about rebooting Spawn
awesome.
In the movie world. And it's supposedly getting closer.
Okay.
It gets closer every time he talks about it.
Okay.
But he what he wants the movie to be is a more film noir style movie that revolves around the two police officers from the comics named Sam and Twitch.
That's interesting.
Which they are... I don't even think Sam and Twitch are in the Spawn movie at all.
I think you have to walk a careful line there when you're talking about comic books and film noir because of Sin City.
Well, I think he saw Sin City and was just like, I want Spawn to be that. And I was like, no, Sin City should be that.
Sin City is that.
You should do exactly the animated one, just live action is what he should do. But
do you think that Sin City is like the closest film to book adaptation? Because of the visual style?
Maybe yes. I think if you're talking about comic book to real life, if you're talking about the greatest adaptation in it, from like actual book to actual movie, Stephen King has two of them. One is The Green Mile,
okay,
and the other
yes.
one is The Shawshank Redemption. They're almost spot-on retellings of the book.
I'd say The Stand.
Thank you, Jeremy.
The
Thank
stand.
You. The Stand.
I would.
The Stand is close, but The
Very
Stand
close.
is not. I wouldn't say 100% spot on. It's good though.
The
it's
Shawshank. It was a very short story. It wasn't barely.
But that's exactly why the movie is exactly you're right. The only thing that the only major difference is that the character who plays Red in The Shawshank Redemption is actually an Irish guy, like a white Irish guy.
Hmm.
So when he says the line, he was just like, why do they call you Red? I guess it's because I'm Irish. Really funny line in the movie.
Because he's played by a black guy, right?
Yeah, but in the book, it's just another line.
I felt like Fight Club was a very good adaptation.
Fight Club is another good adaptation.
Very close to
yeah.
the book. They changed a few things, but they didn't really matter.
Hey, have you ever seen the movie Choke?
Yep.
Choke is a good one, too.
Choke was really good.
Same guy who wrote Fight Club
did
Choke,
too. I would fucking love to see Chuck Palahniuk. I would love to see a version of Invisible Monsters, which is also a Chuck Palahniuk book. That book is so dark and so fucked up, and it's fantastic. It starts with a lonely female who gets her jaw blown off in a car, and the rest of the story, she wears black veils, and every time she talks, it's literally like just random letters. It's like... Her tongue is just flopping around in her face. It's so fabulous.
Well,
that book is awesome.
I had to say my closest was probably Goodfellas. So.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
It was only 99.9% to the book. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give a shout out to Craig Wasson for forgetting his name from Body Devil. So I think he was part of the Dream Warriors. So
Dream Warriors. I think that's it, guys. Is that our show this week?
Nice. I love it. That's
our
show.
I think that's it, man. That's it.
What more can we give you?
Did we 99% wing this?
No, this was a very well planned out show.
Damn right.
Kim, where can people find you at?
At Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. Come to the second Saturday shit show at Auto Bar. Our next show is August. We have Nick Oldershaw headlining. It is a free show, as always,
Oldershaw.
From
I
LA.
I haven't seen him in ages.
I know. I'm so excited. And I won't be able to be there, unfortunately, because you and I will be doing the murder mystery show at the Baltimore Comedy Factory August 11th and 12th.
You guys can check us out there. Check out Jeremy at your local strip club and all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like.